Put down your baby and pick up a beer. Dad Jokes is back with a brand new episode. I'm Jerry, joined here by Brandon. And Brandon, this is the first time that I can say on this podcast that you guys are listening to two dads of two children. Each of us now have two kids with the new birth of your new son, which we'll get into here in a second. So maybe don't grab some beer. Grab a champagne. Grab some champagne and let's toast KJ. Brandon, what's going on, my friend? You've got a lot going on, and we're going to get into all of it here on the podcast today. So what's going on, my friend?
I mean, like you said, we're going to get into it. There's a lot going on. There's a little less sleep than there was about three and a half weeks ago. it's going to be fun, but I'm glad to be having this conversation with you. I'm glad to update everybody on the arrival of KJ.
Yes. Yeah. It's definitely going to be a fun episode. I know for sure that we've had episodes now. This will be our fourth one where we're introducing a new baby, and they're kind of good to look back on. So I'm excited for that. And then honestly, we've had some conversations, obviously, but we haven't had some intentionally, I think, because we're gonna have them today. But before we get into all that, the show's called Dad Jokes for a reason. Brandon, it's only right you lead off today, so let's hear a dad joke from you.
So, Jerry, not only did we introduce a new baby into the house, but one thing that I've been waiting to share with you is that we have a new dog. And Kelsey named the dog 5 Miles so that she can say that she walked 5 miles every day. But today she ran over 5 miles.
Oh, no. Oh, I don't think your wife's going to like that joke very much.
She straight up told me, don't say that one. And I was like, check.
Doing it now for sure. Oh, that's great. Yeah. Well, Brandon, before, I think it's only right at this point in time is you do the proper introduction of the new addition to the Banks family and kind of tell everyone who is joining the Dad Jokes crew.
So KJ Banks is the AKA. His real name is Cade with the K, Jordan Banks. It's actually a funny story how his name came about. So when we were going through the process of naming Bryce, we had a couple different options. My top two and Kelsey's top two for the longest time were either Bryce or Trey. And then I'd say about 2-3 months before Bryce got here, I was laying in bed up in the middle of the night. She was up with me. I don't know. We were watching a show or something. And I said his name out loud, Bryce Banks. And when I said it, I looked at her and I was like, nope, we can't do this. I hate how it sounds when I say his name. I'm out. This is after we were convinced for months. That was the number one. Like, we hadn't gone back and forth. I was like, nope, can't do it. So she kind of freaked out a little bit. I was like, let's just open it back up. Let's see what other options we have. And this is, I'm a big Pistons fan. And around this time, this was about a month before the NBA draft. So I was like, you know what? I hopped on Bleacher Report. I was like, let's look at a mock draft. And so we did that. And that year, the number one pick in the draft's name was Cade Cunningham. So I'm just saying first names. And I start off number one, Cade. And I go through 60 players. But she got stuck on Cade from the beginning. And actually, she would have named Bryce Cade. That's how much she liked that name. And I was kind of indifferent about it. I didn't like it that much. I thought it was kind of corny anyway, with me being a Pistons fan, to pseudo name him after a player on the team. But obviously, she stuck to her guns with that name. We were going back and forth on the middle name for a long time. I also lost that battle, but I got the KJ that I ultimately
won. What I'm hearing is, Kate, don't listen to this episode because your dad's saying he don't like your name. That's what I got out of that.
It was not my first choice. No, I didn't have a good second choice. I wanted KJ. KJ is what I wanted. Okay. KJ is what I got. How we got there? Now, Kelsey absolutely named him his first name, and we came to a compromise on the middle name. So, but he is here. This go around was definitely different. I mean, the last episode you and I talked about just kind of an update on how I was feeling, and the different feelings didn't stop when we got to the hospital either. I will say, we got there, the setup was way different this time. So just a quick refresher. Last time we went in to have a vaginal birth, went in at 37 weeks and were induced. The induction did not take. We were in the hospital for 2 days, left, came back the following Sunday, tried an induction again, didn't work, ended up having a C-section later the next day. This go around, it's a scheduled C-section. Her doctor pretty much told her, you're going to be having a C-section going forward. So we knew what was coming. We knew what we were getting ourselves into. I think from Kelsey's perspective, that also made it a little bit more nerve-wracking coming into it, because it's like I'm signing up knowing I'm about to have major surgery instead of basically being told the morning of and not really having time to think a ton about it. Yeah, so that definitely played on her emotions a little bit coming into it, as it would anyone. But when you want to talk about efficient, I mean, the C-section was scheduled for 8:30. They told us to get there 2 hours earlier. We pull up to the hospital at 6:30. They take us to the birthing room, which is basically the room that we're going to be in after the baby's born for a couple hours while they're still making sure vitals and everything are where they need to be before they put us in the room we're going to be in for potentially the next couple of days. So we get there, we get situated. Nurse is a funny story. This is the nurse who took us across the finish line as well when Bryce was born. So she kind of recognized us, asked, hey, was I here a couple years ago with you guys too? And then she ended up looking it up, and she was our nurse then, which was, she was great then. Great this go around. It's kind of funny how life works, because there are a lot of nurses in that hospital, and to get the same one twice for that moment was pretty cool. But so we get there, and I mean, you really don't have time that morning to even, like, that was the height of my nervousness. Actually, I'll tell you about the height of my nervousness later. I thought that was the height of my nervousness, but I'm a pretty chill guy. Yes, I'm a pretty chill guy. Like I not a lot of stuff kind of gets to me. I'm trying to put on a brave face for Kelsey, but I'm almost going into, I don't want to say I'm going into a shell, but I'm in my thoughts, because I'm looking up at the clock, and I know that the clock says 7:30, and I'm like, literally 2 hours from now, I'm gonna have a little baby. Like it's crazy. It's a crazy process, mentally, to know your entire life is changing in a couple hours. So, they come in, the anesthesiologists come in, they're right on time. So they wheel her out. They come in, and the funny part, last time I had my little like scrub outfit on, like almost way too early. I'm like 25 minutes before they actually wheel us out there. The nurse brought me the stuff. I put it on immediately. This girl around, she said, hey, you don't have to put this on yet. Like, you're going to have time. So for those who haven't gone through the process yet, when they take, and they came in, they took my wife into the actual room where the surgery is going to happen. But they have to give her the epidural first. You're not in the room for that. So I'm not in the room for that. They have you wait in the hallway. I don't have any of my, like, the scrub stuff on yet. She told me to wait, so I'm waiting, and I'm kind of almost waiting for a cue to know that they're about to do it. They just come in full force, like, yep, it's time. So I'm like, oh, okay. So I'm in a hallway getting changed. I put the thing on backwards at first. Like, just little things that don't, like, they don't matter in the grand scheme of things, but I'm like, I'm just looking like an idiot. So I'm in a hallway, and I think I told you guys the last time, they told me it was going to be about like 10 minutes and it took 25. So this go around, I'm thinking it's going to be like 25 again. So I'm preparing myself. She assured me. She was like, no, it's not going to be that long. You're going to be fine. That hallway wait. I texted you guys, actually. I texted you guys and my dad. Like, it's like, this is the longest wait of your life. No matter if it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes.
Right.
It feels crazy. So they call me back, and once you get into this sterile room where the surgery is happening, the last time I actually like looked and could see what was going on pretty like significantly, and I was paying attention. This go around, I said I'm good. So I sat right next to Kelsey instead of like standing up next to her. They had like the sheet up, and she's the first thing she says to me. This can be the all time things your wife says. So, what as a husband, you really can only be there as like comfort. So you're either like gonna grab a hand, but her hand was like underneath something, like, and they had like a bunch of stuff on it. So I gently like touch her forehead with the back of my hand. And she immediately looks at me and says, "Get your hand out of my face. It stinks." And me, I look at the anesthesiologist behind me, and we both just kind of crack up laughing. And I didn't put cologne on intentionally, but it was actually a hand lotion that Kelsey bought me because she liked the smell of it. And she hated it in that moment. So that was kind of funny. But while the process is happening, and C-sections don't really take that long once you're at that point. Like they're pretty much where they need to be almost by the time I get wheeled or not wheeled, but brought back there. But you're basically hearing a bunch of noise, listening to doctors talk. You don't understand completely what they're saying. And Kelsey does great with pain. I can just see how it's like affecting her and bothering her. And it is. So this is the point where I'm at my most nervous ever. The same thing that happened with Bryce, because it's a feeling of just a complete lack of control. And if any of you guys have, like, as a kid, I used to be a little bit afraid of roller coasters. Right. So like that, the climb up on a roller coaster, it's almost like your life flashes before your eyes. You start thinking about everything that could go wrong potentially. Some people's brains don't work like that. Mine generally doesn't, but roller coasters right before you cross over the hill, and this moment is what and it's crazy. And all you want in the moment is for everything to be okay and for it to be over. Like I wanted them to be done. I wanted to hear the baby cry. I wanted Kelsey to be fine. Like, and I'm watching her in pain. I'm watching her uncomfortable. And it's taken a little bit, like it's taken, like, in my mind, significantly longer than it did with Bryce. And so and I hear the doctor making like weird grunt noises. And that could be completely normal. I don't know, but it's like, is he struggling? And then at one point, I think Kelsey noticed the same thing. So she looks up at the anesthesiologist and asks like, "Hey, how's everything going?" Anesthesiologist takes a quick peek and says, like, "They're almost done. You're going to feel pressure really soon. Like, breathe through it. It looks like he's a little stuck in there." And I'm like, and I'm not reacting, but I'm like, and Kelsey's doped up. Like, she's out of it, but coherent to a degree. I'm like, "What do you mean stuck? Like, what are we doing? This is not, like, this wasn't in the playbook. I don't know what we do in this scenario." Yeah. And someone basically says something to the effect that we're going to have to use like the vacuum. And I'm like, "What is that? What is a vacuum? Like, what is that?
Because you're
talking
like
Dyson. We're talking like Hoover.
You're thinking vacuum, and like, that don't sound good. Like, I ain't going to use my vacuum on a newborn."
Dude, we got some nice vacuums in the house, but none of them can pick up.
Did you watch The Sandlot growing up?
Yeah.
You ever seen this, you know, the scene where he's like suction cups the ball up? That's what I'm picturing, like, in my head. Like, they're using like that vacuum.
That's probably
like
a good pick.
Just sucking the baby.
I don't even know. That's a great, that's a great way to think about it, because I think that's pretty much what happened. But that's ultimately what, so he was face down like he should have been, but like his butt area was like stuck up underneath her rib cage. And so they couldn't get him out, basically. So they had to do what they had to do. So the anesthesiologist, she was great. She was like keeping us kind of, giving us a pseudo play-by-play within reason, and basically said, "Okay, they're going to have to use a vacuum. You're going to hear a loud noise. Once you hear that noise, it's just going to be like, it's going to be over quick, but you need to breathe through it." So heard the noise. I can't even describe what that sounded like. It was a vacuum for sure, but it was weird. and then KJ was there. And I'll get into kind of the him in general. One other thing that kind of jumped out to both me and Kelsey, as they're finishing up the surgery, you hear the nurses and the doctors both start to count. And it's one, one, two, two. Like, it's a count and repair it back. Yeah, what they're doing is counting all the tools that they used, and it's up the number they stopped at was 20, making sure they didn't leave anything inside the body. And we talked about this later. We're like, something had to have happened for this to become the procedure.
For sure, something happened. Someone got like a scalpel left inside.
Freaking crazy. So that was pretty interesting. So, I mean, that was the longest, I don't know how many minutes of my life, but they take us to the back.
What was the size?
Or take me to the back. So KJ was 7 pounds, 14 ounces. So he wasn't quite the over 8 pound baby. They also told us during the last couple of ultrasounds that he had the biggest head ever. His head, and I'll get into the first doctor's visit a little bit later, but it's in the 20th percentile. Excuse me. So his head's not that big. You can definitely see to a degree where the vacuum was used. They kind of pointed it out. There's a red spot in the back of his head that may or may not be there for a long time. We'll end up seeing. And he was 21 inches long. So 7 pounds, 14 ounces, 21 inches long, almost a full pound. And an inch longer than Bryce, which is crazy to think about. Because this baby, you told me something when you had Avery. It's like, when I got home, that was the biggest Peyton ever. Like, it felt like Peyton aged like 10 years. Anybody out there who is having a second kid, listen to that, and it's not going to make sense right now. I'm telling you. People have always picked Bryce up and told me like how Bryce is a solid, like he's built solid. Like that kid felt like he weighed like 55 pounds when I picked him up from being in the hospital with his brother.
He was 27.
It was, it's crazy. Yeah. He acting like he's 27 right now too. We'll get into that a little bit later. But everything was healthy with the baby. He did have a tongue tie that he was born with. Which we were a little bit fearful of because Bryce struggled to nurse in the hospital. Like it was a big struggle to the point where it affected Kelsey's supply because he wasn't latching, and we had to supplement with formula. Luckily, this baby has been eating like a champ. I'm saying luckily because we want to breastfeed. Primarily, and we've supplemented with formula Bryce, no issues. Everything has worked out great, but it is something that was super important for Kelsey. So that's been great. We get down and a couple little. I'm gonna make these just like quick hitters. Bryce, we didn't circumcise. KJ, we didn't either. And then one thing that was a little bit different with KJ. We both did some research, primarily Kelsey, but there are things that come along with being inside mom and come along with the birth that stay on baby's skin. That's actually pretty good for them entering the world for the first couple of days. So we elected not to do a bath at the hospital this go around. We did a bath with Bryce at the hospital. Do your own research. It's just something that we decided this go around not to do. And without boring you with the details of everything else that happened at the hospital during our time there, both not having them circumcised and not getting a bath really helped with us getting out of the hospital early. We actually were out of there legitimately 24 hours later. So that next morning we were in the car on our way home, which was great.
Yeah, that's clutch.
The other thing, so Kelsey told the nurse that she wanted to get out of there as soon as possible, as long as everything was good. The nurse basically said, hey, when the residents and the doctors come in, let them know that your goal is to leave like today. And as long as your doctor gives the blessing, she's like, if you don't ask though, they're going to keep you, like C-sections are typically 48 hours. There was no need for us to still be there. But I will give the hospital credit. You guys heard me moan and complain with Bryce. They changed up the little, like, sleeping situation. So, you know, and I know for a fact Hurley still has some of those old chairs. I don't know when, because I know somebody who had a baby a month and a half ago, and he sent me a picture of the chair that I slept, like, the same type of chair, and it sucks. But the room we were in had, like, a couch situation.
Yeah, and you flip the top over.
Yes.
Yeah, I had that both times.
Oh no, I didn't have that the first
time. Well, not in like the not the room they gave birth, but like the room we slept in overnight. Yeah, yes. We had that both times. That is better. Yeah.
Oh, it is so much better had than those. That year.
Well, they got different rooms. Last time. They got different rooms at Hurley I didn't know about that are like better. And the second time with Avery, they literally, the lady's like, oh, you're a nurse here, right? We got you the good room. They like flat out told us that, like, which was good. I didn't know there was any difference.
Wait, but what was in the good room? We didn't talk about this.
It was huge. It was huge, Brandon. It was bigger than any hotel room I've stayed at. This thing was huge. It was just big. Like, it wasn't nothing different other than it was just like gigantic. I mean, there was so much room for activities. You could buy anything in that room. You could have played a game of flag football in this room. And but they definitely had that couch thing that flipped over, but it was way bigger than the room we were in for Peyton. Like, I mean, it was unnecessarily big. Like, you had to like walk a long way to get out of the room.
The room could have got much bigger than what we were in.
I mean,
it was the same size room as the first time, but nah.
That's funny. They have better rooms. They flat out like told us that. I didn't realize that, but they're like, yeah.
I honestly think that it should be like that to a degree. If I want to spend, or maybe I spent on a different level of insurance, like put me in the bougie room, or let me upgrade.
You guys are in there. You got the better bed this time. How was first night in the hospital? Was the first night hospital great? Was it so-so? You know, what was hospital night like?
It was way better than with Bryce. Because the other thing is, I don't know if you get like the benefit of the doubt with the second kid, or it's just luck of the draw with the nurses. That with Bryce, we had someone in our room, I'm not joking, it like every hour minimum. Like, so the minute you can catch a quick amount of sleep, like somebody's flicking your light on and coming in there. The nurse came in, she checked on Kelsey. She's like, yeah, I'll probably be back in like a few hours. She didn't come back till like 5 o'clock. Came in, checked something real quick, was super quiet, kept the light off, and then like we had minimal interruption. And I'll kind of get into this as well. KJ for the first 2 weeks, like, was literally the perfect baby. Like, he only cried when he was hungry, and it was kind of like little short little whimpers. Like, if you didn't happen to catch, if you push it just a little bit, like he didn't cry when he was sleepy. He basically just, he ate and slept. So, I mean, it was, the hospital stay was fine. I mean, I was up kind of tending to Kelsey. He wakes up every 2 hours to eat. But other than that, it was just like, we knew we were probably getting out the next day. The bed, I didn't sleep really, but that I was expecting not to sleep. So I was way more comfortable. Night. Yeah. I was way more comfortable. I can't say enough about it. Like, that first night was perfect. The first 2 weeks, honestly, were pretty great. But we'll kind of get into details of that. Notice I keep alluding to the first couple weeks because we have hit a little bit of a snafu.
So obviously KJ's born, healthy, mom's healthy, everything's great. But, and I think we talked about this on the podcast, I know we've talked about it ourselves, but one of the best moments I ever had as a dad was the first time Peyton got to meet Avery. It's just something you can't explain until you go through it. So walk us through Bryce and KJ meeting for the first time. What was it like for them? What was it like for you, Kelsey? Like, I mean, just walk us through it.
So I forgot that I haven't really fully talked to you about this. I need to show you the video tomorrow when I see you at work.
Okay.
Because I recorded the entire thing. So I recorded literally for me. So just a little background. Bryce was at my parents' house. We got home the next day, and we stayed, basically it was Kelsey, myself, and the baby that entire day. We left Bryce and our dog Riley at my parents' house that entire day. Got acclimated, tried to catch up on like sleep, support each other in that way as much as we could. And then the following morning, I talked to my parents. I was going to pick Bryce and Riley up and bring them home. The last time when we had Bryce, essentially there was a gang of people waiting on us when we got home. And that's not the same reception that we wanted. We wanted chill. We knew how tired we were coming out of the hospital last time.
It's overwhelming.
We wanted to be able to kind of ease into it. It was super overwhelming. It was Kelsey's idea, and I like that was the right. It was the right call, because it was just the right call. So that first day, me, KJ, Kelsey, everything was great. And then I went and picked Bryce up from my parents' house, and so I'm like we're talking them through it, and you wonder how much actually sinks in over the like last few right. months, and it's just. It's an incredible feeling as a dad when, like, you see it all, like, click and, like, work together perfectly almost. Like, so I bring him in, and he sees the gifts that KJ bought him first and yeah, kind of goes towards that for a second. But then he sees his mom. He walks over. We have KJ just, like, laying on the couch. And he's obsessed with them from the beginning. And he walks over to him and he's saying, "Hi, KJ. Hi, baby brother. Hi, baby brother." And then starts like yelling, "Hi." Like he wants him to talk back. So like, he's yelling, "Hi." But he's so excited. Like the excitement is palpable. I can't wait to show you this video. And it's 3 minutes. I'm going to chop it up a little bit. I will post that on our dad jokes page too, awesome. To give you guys that's just really cool. a little glimpse. But I mean, that was, I mean, top five core memory of my life. Like that just, I can't speak enough to how incredible that was. And he kept yelling at him. He's laughing at him. He's touching his hand. He's obsessed with his hands and his fingers. He's like touching his nose, saying no.
It's weird how instant like, it is too.
I can't explain it. And I'm sitting there waiting for something to be, like, off or him to try to, like, smack him or something. I don't know. He did, like, grab his arm and try to pull him. But it's almost like he was touching him to realize that he was real. Like, this thing that we've been talking about for the last 9 months, like, this is what it is. And but he's excited from the beginning. And that has not changed. First thing he does when he wakes up every morning is want to see mommy, want to see KJ. Absolutely, every time he leaves the room, he wants to say bye to KJ. That part of it is, I mean, he's going to be a great big brother. I'm super excited about that.
That's the thing that's crazy to me, Brandon, is like, and no shots fired at anyone here, like if this is what you decide, but like people that like want to have one, and I get it, they're like, I have one kid, I can give, you know, my time and attention. But it's like, man, once you get to see your kid be a sibling, it's hard to imagine like not having, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's different. It hits different. It's just a different experience. It's a different type of feeling. And it's just so cool. Cause like, it's like you said, it's an instant and they have like this love and they have this bond. But then also as a parent, you get to see your kids in a different light, like, you know what I mean? Now you don't just see
it's
Bryce
straight
just
pride.
Bryce, but it's as a brother, as a brother, and like, and you're already picturing them 10 years from now, 5 years from now, and like, what are they going to get into, and what are they going to teach each other? So I mean, it just, if you're on the fence, and I'm not trying to push someone to do whatever, but like, it is awesome. It is awesome to see your kid as siblings, even from the beginning, and they're not even like Avery's just now getting to the point where she can kind of like move around and interact, and Peyton still thinks it's her baby to this day.
Yeah. No, I can't describe the feeling. And I think Kelsey and I both felt the exact same way, the exact same. Like, we're looking at him and then we're looking at each other. Like, can you believe that? Like, it couldn't have been a more perfect, like, reaction, which is great. And like I said, he's been great since. A couple quick hits with Bryce because some of this stuff is funny. So he sees Kelsey feeding the baby. And he looks at the baby, looks at Kelsey, and he says, he's eating the nipple. So he calls the baby breastfeeding, eating the nipple, and that's pretty consistent.
I mean, not super inaccurate.
He's absolutely right. He's absolutely right as far as what's happening. But it's just funny. This like one of those kids say the darndest thing moment. I kind of alluded to the fact that he's been a lot. So he's great with KJ, with supervision. But he also, right before we went to the hospital that week and a half, he started to really hit his stride on the, like, kind of that terrible, too defiant, like, I'm going to do what I want, and like that stage. He's definitely squarely there. And that coincides kind of when the baby's eating the nipple, Bryce understands that Kelce cannot get up, like, to chase him around if he's doing something he shouldn't do. So that's when he gets into the most stuff. If I'm, like, in a different part of the house, that's when stuff really happens. Like, he'll get into something he's not supposed to. So he's not only hitting his stride, but he's smart with it. So we've been introducing some different forms of punishment. And we gonna hold strong with the not spanking. But y'all might be getting an update within the next couple months. that kid got popped.
I hear you on that one. So let me ask you something, Brandon. You know, some parents you hear talk about the difference between the firstborn and the second kid, and then the connection part of it, like being a little bit different, or just, you know, one, you have less time, obviously, and also you got another kid, and you've gone through it. Have you noticed any differences with, let's say, you and KJ versus how it was with you and Bryce?
100%. I felt the, and this is not a shot at anyone, but you and I both have had conversations with people who did not feel immediate connections to their children when they were first born. It took a couple months, according to them, sometimes even longer. I felt immediate connection, immediate love for Bryce. My fear, which is kind of what you're getting at to a degree, like you got so much time in with Bryce that it feels like, can I give another thing this same level of, like, love? The minute KJ was born, I was obsessed with him. And it was to a different level than I was with Bryce. And part of the reason, I think, is there's a chance that this is our last kid. So you're savoring every moment with Bryce, but these are all firsts. You don't know that this is something you'll necessarily miss. So I think I've been more intentional about, like, every individual moment. And on top of it, literally a day or two old, the kid was, like, making weird, like, smiley faces at me. So that, I mean, if you want to get on, like, you know, my good side, you laugh at my jokes. And I felt like he was laughing at my jokes. So he endeared himself to me real quick. And so Kelce actually made a joke. She was like, you were great with Bryce, but you weren't like this. Like, you weren't if she wasn't feeding, I was holding him. Like, he was always, like, with me and on me. It was just, so yes, I felt like I was a lot more attached to KJ from the beginning for one. I don't know why. I also can't remember how I felt with Bryce.
It's hard to, like, exactly remember and stuff like that too, but it is interesting the different, and obviously you're a few weeks in and it'll continue to, like, adapt and change, but it is a weird feeling because you'll have two kids at different stages, and sometimes that's good and bad for one or the other, or just, like, you know, where you're at mentally. You know, there's definitely, even now, like, there's days where it's like, I feel like, man, I gave a lot of my attention to Peyton, but then there'll be other days I'll be like, man, I feel like I'm giving more to, you know, or even just like how you're feeling. You're like, all right, give me the baby because I don't want to deal with her, or give me the older one because the little one's driving me nuts. But you know, it comes and goes. But that's awesome, man. That's awesome that you know, you guys kind of have that connection already, especially just a few weeks in.
Yeah, and it's been great. That the first couple weeks, and these are probably my last couple points about the first couple weeks. But he barely cried. Like, I think I told you, and when you look things up, just you guys at home, a lot of people will tell you that the first 2 weeks are kind of like, you can almost ignore them. Even to potentially the first 3 weeks, you really start getting your babies, like, some semblance of personality or what you may be in for after, like, the first couple weeks. But he legitimately, with Bryce cried from the beginning. Like, I remember Bryce crying significantly in the hospital, and that was part of what kept us up. And we didn't mind it, but that was a big difference. KJ would stay, like, even if he was awake, you could put him in the pack and play, like, half awake. He put himself to sleep, or he'd stay there content, just, like, looking around, not moving, not making no noise, like, just chilling. Like, you could put him down and actually, like, go get something done real quick if you needed to. That was way different than Bryce. Great eater. Like, eats a lot, but no issues really latching.
Right.
Like, eats, pees, poop. Like, no, like, everything's going great. And it's actually funny because, like, Kelsey was a little apprehensive because she struggled with Bryce, and this baby had a tongue tie as well. She already has more of a backup supply than she had with Bryce at any given, like, at the height of her. And she was able to save a lot, but she told me the other day, I already think I have more than I did at any point with Bryce. Was great. And the last thing to kind of get to his not crying, the kid got his tongue tie clipped. We elected to do that based on the advice of the ear, nose, and throat specialist. And Bryce came back wailing. They don't let you go back into the room with them. His wasn't as severe as Bryce's. But we're waiting for, like, it takes like 2 seconds, but they don't let you go with them. And it's the worst feeling as a parent. Because I'm the guy who follows the baby around the entire hospital. Like, if he has to go to the nursery for something, I'm going with him. I got a pseudo argument the last time because they wouldn't let me go in with the ear, nose, and throat. But he was on his way back. We're waiting to hear, like, him crying. And she just walks him in. She's parading him around the office, telling people how cute he is. And he's just chilling. She's like, nope, he cried, like, barely, and we were done. So
he's good now.
That was he's a overall chill kid. But I'll tell you how the last week went in a little bit. I think it's time to update the people on what you guys been up to.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll just do some quick hitters mostly. I mean, obviously, it's been a few weeks, so there's been a lot going on. One thing we had going on, Brandon, that was kind of crazy. I don't think I told you until just like yesterday or something about this, but we've been dealing with like a natural gas smell in my house for like a month or two, and it's been driving us nuts. And the worst part about it was the strongest in my laundry room and in Avery's room. And so, you know, I noticed it. Macy noticed it. My mom noticed it. My mother-in-law noticed it. So, you know, we were kind of freaking out. I bought a gas detector. Nothing popped up. So then it got so bad we called consumers. They came out. Nothing. Everything's good. Then they're like,
but everybody can smell it.
Right. But it's like a stain. So then I had a guy at work who's a firefighter. He has a stronger detector. Came out. He smells it, but he can't. Nothing's picking up. So a couple people told me, hey, it could be the dryer. Because sometimes dryers will leak internally, and it's not the gas line's fault, but it's the dryer's fault. Have a guy come out, takes it apart, nothing. But the smell's still there. So, but they smell it. They kind of thought it was that. Anyways, they come back, nothing. We have all these people come out, nobody has anything. Finally, one day, I come home from work, Macy's got everything moved, strong scent again. I'm actually going to the Red Wings game that night with my dad. And so I call someone who gets a hold of someone else who happens to know an owner at this company. They come out to the house late at night. I'm not home. We got a hold of consumers first again, because consumers were like, hey, this is bad. We're worried. And the guy's there for a couple hours. Anyways, long story short, he ends up finding a pretty significant leak in the valve near my furnace, which I don't know how no one detected that before. But anyways, then we get the guy to come out from the person that we know at work, and they can't fix it. So he shuts the gas off in my whole house. And this is one of the coldest days that it's been in a long time. So I got no heat in my house. I'm not there. I had to come home. We got a space heater in the baby's room, so the baby's room's kind of cool. But we're bundled up in our room. We have Peyton in our room because we don't want Peyton to freeze. And which, you know, so obviously got no sleep. Then the next day they came and they were here for a few hours and they got it fixed. And since then it's been good, but kind of a scary thing, you know, dealing with it. You got kids and you don't want them breathing in that. Plus, you know, you don't know how safe it is. But it was definitely a royal pain in the butt. But we dealt with that. Other than that, you know, Avery's kind of, she's starting to, she's 9 months now. She's starting to get to that stage where you're starting to see some, like, I don't want to say like real personality, but real personality, you know. It's not just, you know, a little, you know, she's starting to, I don't know, grow. Like, you're seeing like that development. This is kind of a stage where lots of things happen quickly, right? You know, she's eating everything. She's starting to eat more and more and more. She doesn't crawl, but she army crawls everywhere, like super fast. She grabs everything. She's got two teeth in, another one's cutting. She's, you know, she's growing quick. Sleep's weird with her. She'll be great, and then also she's terrible. So I never want to jinx it. Like, this 3 weeks, you could have asked me three different times, and I would have told you she's doing great. I would have told you she's doing terrible, or she's in between. It changes with her all the time. She's never been a consistent sleeper. And plus, she's got a tooth coming through. That's probably not helping things. Peyton, for a while, gave up on naps. So I thought we were going to be done with naps, which was scaring me. But now, all of a sudden, the last 4 or 5 days, she's napped great. So that's a win. We'll take that. You mentioned Bryce squarely being in the terrible twos. Peyton is 1,000% there. We can have a club. You got to see a little bit of it because we got to actually go visit Bryce and KJ and meet the new baby. And it was funny. Peyton and Bryce were playing really well early on, and you kind of said they play so well together. I think felt like you jinxed it, because then all of a sudden Peyton decided she wanted to, like, I don't know, be terrible at sharing and be mad. She also didn't nap that day, so that was one of those days where she was boycotting napping. But she's so weird, because she's starting to, you know, she's getting tantrums or just getting defiant about stuff and just getting so mad and worked up multiple times a day. But it's hard because, like, when she's not, she's just great, and it's like, yeah, the best. Like, she's same. Yeah, and her brain right now is just like, I feel like since like the early stages, it's just taking off. She's putting together like crazy sentences. She's picking up on things she never picked up on before. Like, she started, I showed you kind of a video. She started like reading certain books that we read to her, like not like full on actually reading, but like she can like quote what we recite to her. She's like, you know, putting together different ideas and like just like random things that like you don't teach her on like a day to day basis. They're just stuff that pops up, and it's really cool to see. And she's a lot of fun. I got home from work today, and it was kind of a long day, and I get home, she's like, "Daddy, daddy, daddy," and then I run to her, and, you know, after, and she's been eating, and she's like, "Daddy, snuggle me," like right away. You know, I mean, she's cute. She's like having fun, and it's great. But then, you know, 10 minutes later, she's screaming her lungs out and the world's ending. So it's a lot of up and downs. It's the life of the 2-year-old.
I think that's the life we're going to have for a minute.
Yeah, but she definitely is learning a ton lately. The girls also got to finish swim class, and I got to take them to their last swim class. So that was a lot of fun. It was kind of cool. The last swim class is kind of at this place where there's a pool, but there's also a little bit of a kid's water park, a little bit, like there's a big slide, and they let us take the kids on the slide, and Peyton and Avery both let me take them down, and both did good with it. So that was kind of fun. I didn't think they would have. I thought they both would freak out, and they both did good. So that was kind of fun, you know, to do. And I got to do that with them. I got to do their first class and their last class. So that was kind of cool to bookend that. But yeah, I mean, it's been good. I mean, it's like life is definitely crazy with 2 kids, as you'll find, especially when they start getting older. But, you know, I think Avery's starting to get to that age. Like, when they get around 9 months, you know, that's when they start, like, crawling and standing up on stuff. And then pretty soon's walking and then, you know, grabbing and then talking.
You have 2 walkers.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It is going to be kind of crazy because now, you know, Avery's starting to play with toys and mostly just, you know, grabbing them and putting them in their mouth and flipping them. But, you know, what's going to happen when she wants something, and Peyton does too, because Peyton kind of runs the show right now. So we're getting into some of those territories, but it's been a little crazy, but it's been fun. It was fun meeting KJ. I thought, you know, Avery did great over there. You know, Peyton started fake breastfeeding a baby the second that KJ was eating, which is her go-to. But no, I mean, it's always fun to watch Bryce and Peyton play, because they're kind of, they got their own personalities, but they also kind of like mesh at certain times. And you know, it's funny, you know, sometimes I feel like Peyton's like following what Bryce does, and then other times I feel like Bryce is following what Peyton does, and they kind of play off each other, and I don't know, it's always fun.
I
to watch
think
them.
Peyton is pseudo running that show.
she runs every show, let's be honest, but Bryce maybe is a smart boy, and he knows to let it run the show. It's better for him.
It's funny, even when she was kind of getting a little upset, I was interested to see how he reacted to it, And he's just kind of looking, and he's trying to find other things that just make her, like, happy and make her smile. Yep. It's funny just watching, like, the guy. Like, I feel like he was being a real guy in a situation.
He was.
And it's I don't know.
And he doesn't know yet that there's no plea. There's no place in her. Don't matter what you do, Bryce. It ain't your fault. You ain't going to please her. When she's mad, she's just mad. And she's a very particular young girl. She wants what she wants, and you ain't going to tell her otherwise. So she really wanted Elmo tonight, Sesame Street, which is she's never asked for. But that was tonight. Daddy Elmo game. I don't know what that is.
Sesame Street. Sesame Street is my favorite.
It's not bad. And so there's worse things to definitely want. But another thing, and I'll actually go into this really quick, Brandon, is a piece of baby gear. And I told you about these at work today, but she has been obsessed with the Never Touch books. They're like books that are actually like they're board books, but you can touch them and they got like rubber and stuff on them. But there's like Never Touch a Dinosaur, Never Touch a Porcupine, Never Touch a Grumpy Bunny, Never Touch it, you know, and she freaking loves those books. Every night wants to read them. We have like four or five, and those are the ones that she fakes reads most of the time, and she really, really likes those. And there's a Grumpy Bunny, which is good for Easter, but that if you can't or look them up on Amazon, they're like $3, and the kids love them. They're good for little kids, which like Avery, but then apparently toddlers like them too, because I think they're easy to remember and they're still fun to touch and to play with. So that's a baby gear for you, Brandon. But what's been going on? I know a little bit, but you've been kind of alluding to it, but this last week for you guys has been a little bit rough.
Yeah. And real quick, my piece of baby gear is actually a homemade thing that Kelsey made. Bryce, every morning, Bryce has a lot of Tonys at this point, and this is your fault. Yeah. but he has a lot of Tonys, and they all are grouped together in like a little bin. And everything, the first time, every morning, he'll grab it and he'll dump the whole thing out. He won't like pick one out. He'll dump the entire thing out. And it's just one of those little annoying things. It's like, why don't you just grab one, bro? Like, why you got to dump them all out? We just picked these up. Right.
And you don't want to lose one. I picked those things up 15 times a day.
Yeah, it's $17.99.
Right.
So, Kelsey grabbed like a 3-level spice rack. We like a old spice rack we had, and then put like magnet strips on them. And so that sits on his main station. And it's basically just like a little display thing that all the Tonys can fit on and sit on. But I mean, she used something that we already had, bought some magnet strips, put them on there, and it works great. And he doesn't dump them. So it fixed a little annoyance that we had. And if you guys are using
DIY.
The Tonys. Yeah, it was a great idea. So shout out to Kelsey. But you alluded to the last week. So I've been talking about how great KJ has been. Well, Dad had to go and F it all up. So I was scheduled to go back to work on two weeks plus a Monday. So a Tuesday after KJ was born. The day you guys came over, actually, I had a gout flare-up the night before. I've been getting some pretty bad gout flare-ups this past, like, 6 months, which, for those who don't know, before it started happening to me, I used to roll my eyes when people had this. It can knock you down where you really can't move if it's the wrong area. And this latest one is, like, in my Achilles and kind of goes up my leg a little bit. And I felt it coming the day before. That Saturday morning, it was kind of tough to walk. Kelsey was like, you need to just nip this in the bud. Like, we're not going to spend the weekend with this. She still can't really move off the C-section. Like, so let's just go to urgent care. I go into urgent care, and it's packed. And there's people in there coughing everywhere. And I got a baby at home. So I text her. I'm like, I'm about to leave. Like, this ain't worth it. Like, I'll deal with the pain. Like, I'm not. No, you should stay. Put a mask on. Cool. Put a mask on. I'm far away from people. I'm good. Get my steroid, do everything I need to do. Yeah. So the rest of the weekend goes great. I have my last little Monday with them. Go back to work on Tuesday. I feel like a little twinge in my throat, but I got a bunch of cough drops. I'm just pounding cough drops, and it's keeping it at bay. Wednesday, I feel a little bit worse, and we got pictures. So this is a part of the update for what we've been doing. We did newborn pictures, and actually, right before we got on the record, we got the full session.
It came out great.
So I got to go through them.
The ones I've seen came out absolutely great.
Yeah, we're really excited with what we saw, and I got 350 pictures to look at when we get off this call.
Dang.
Because we just got the full, instead of the sneak peek is what you saw, we got all of them.
All I'm hearing is dollar signs, Brandon.
Oh, yeah. So, we leave work, and I'm not feeling good, but, like, her parents are there, my parents are there. It's not that bad. I'm not feeling good. Man, we get done with those pictures. And it's time to kind of go to bed, and I feel like crap. Bryce is coughing. Like, you can see it in his eyes. It's almost like, I don't know if Peyton's like this at all, but you can almost see them get sick, like, in their face before they actually, like, start manifesting it. Man, that in the middle of the night, it's like something exploded in our house between me and Bryce. Like, couldn't stop coughing. I'm like, I got, like, chills. I got, like, a slight fever. Like, and I'm freaking out. I'm like, I can't get this baby sick. So Bryce and I kind of separate. And so for the last, and you can probably hear in my voice, I'm feeling much better now. But for the last part of last week, so Thursday, Friday, I'd say through like Saturday, me and Bryce were really bad. I was sleeping in his room. You can't really keep Bryce away from mom and the baby, but like, I'm not picking up KJ. So Kelsey is so low. Like holding him, like doing everything with KJ, and I got Bryce. We're like single parents of each individual child until Bryce decides to go over and like put his fingers in KJ's face,
right?
The snot fingers. but we thought we had kind of beaten. Kelsey felt something for a hot second, like that Wednesday, but it wasn't anything crazy. So we thought we were good. Man, Sunday hit, Sunday to Monday, both Kelsey to a degree, and she's feeling it now more than then, but the baby really started feeling it. And the sleep that I was talking about him being great with all went down the tube. And so the last couple of days, it's been weird. He's not sleeping great, and we're going to stop recording this. I'm actually going to edit this episode upstairs in the room so I can relieve Kelsey because she hasn't gotten much sleep. A difference this last go around, Bryce, we were supplementing with formula. So I was able to almost split the nights with Kelsey. Like I would take until like 2 a.m. Anything, if he got up at all, like at other than normal feeds until 2 a.m., I took care of it. She's breastfeeding and has a steady supply. She's taking most of these wake ups. Right. Basically, we have a pumped bottle every night that he'll get, like, I'll go up there in about 4 minutes-ish, and I will, I'm going to give him that last bottle to try to get her through to, like, 1-ish so she can get some consistent sleep. But then it's her for the rest of that night.
Yeah, it's tough.
That kid's been – he cannot lay flat without coughing, so he needs to be held. It's been a tough couple of days. And on top of it, during the day, for whatever reason, he's like reversed where he don't like me holding him now because I ain't holding him for a few days. So I talked about like how obsessed I was with him. I'm still obsessed with him. I picked the kid up. The kid starts wailing. He starts crying. So I hope this is because he's sick. I'm hoping it's because he's sick, but I'm a little worried that he has an absolute preference to mom and wants mom to hold him at all times now. And she don't want that either.
Yeah, and I hope your patience is good because I don't know what it was, but I felt like I had the patience of a saint with Peyton, but for whatever reason with Avery, my patience went way down, and I don't know why. Like I still to this day feel bad about it because like I like knew in the moment too. I would look at her and be like, I don't know why I'm so like annoyed right now, but I would get so like quick. Like it was so much quicker with Avery for her to get to me when she's just like screaming, not like the crying, like, you know, babies cry, but like when they're like wailing, like you're saying, like uncontrollably, with Avery, it just hit different. So I hope you got more patience than I did.
That actually, to this point, it don't faze me. It's Bryce who we probably need to have a little bit more patience with because his whole world got rocked upside down. But when the kid is looking at you doing exactly what you're telling him not to do and he's doing it with a smirk on his face, like...
It's hard. It's hard.
I'm telling you, that kid might get spanked real quick.
I like
that's been our birth story. That's the KJ story. Is we're happy. Kelsey's looked at me recently. Is like, two is definitely harder based on these last couple days. Like, we're feeling it right now. We are feeling it.
And hey, here's the thing. There's good news and bad news. I tell you, one. The bad news is it gets harder, much harder. The good news is you get much better. So it's like you get better at knowing how to deal with it and how to handle it. And it just kind of becomes normal. But it definitely, still to this day, like I keep being like, man, this is getting, and they're not even both walking yet. Once that happens, I'm really in trouble, but it is pretty awesome. And I'm excited.
But you don't want to skip any of it. Like,
no, you don't.
And you still want every moment, which is the
crazy.
That's
the thing. Like I said, but also like between the craziness and it being more difficult, you get a whole new, I mean, you got two kids, which is its own thing, but also just them together. And it's pretty awesome. It'll, when you get to hold the baby in one arm and Bryce in the other arm, I mean, it's kind of fun to do. So that's awesome to hear, Brandon. I'm so excited that KJ is part of the Dad Jokes family now. So, I got two jokes today, Brandon. I don't know which one to tell you. Do you want the clean one or the one that's not so clean? I got two.
I mean, you know my answer to that.
All right.
I just told a joke about a dog dying.
Yeah. So, Brandon, well, you're going to find out real quick that mine's a little bit different. But, Brandon, what do strippers – Exactly. What do strippers and peanut butter have in common?
Ew.
Yeah.
I don't know, Jerry. What do strippers and peanut butter have in common?
They both spread for bread.
That's one of your better jokes. That's pretty good.
Yeah. I thought it was funny. I laughed. So, sorry, KJ, this is on your birth episode, but they spread for bread. I thought it was
I'm
funny,
sure KJ so. Will see a stripper at some point in his life.
Oh, that's funny. But anyways, Brandon.
Be mad about that.
Yeah, she's definitely going to get you on that one. But we appreciate every single person who's listened to us before we had any kids. Now we got four of them things.
Four of them.
Definitely appreciate every one of you. We appreciate all the new listeners. We've had a lot of people message us in the last week. I was just telling Brandon about it today. So we like hearing from each and every single one of you guys. We try to get back to you as soon as possible. Make sure, though, that the best way you can thank us or tell us you like it is leave a review or tell your friends about it. That's the best thing you can do for us. So please message us, leave a review, tell your friends, do whatever you can. Cause we like hearing from all you guys. And the great thing about this is we record it as we're going through it. So no matter where you're at, if you listen to it, you'll hear kind of people going through it as they're going through it, not looking back, but telling you as we're dealing with it. And then, we can even look back and laugh at what we thought we knew at the time. So, but as always, for Brandon and Bryce and KJ, I'm Jerry with Peyton and Avery, and you've been listening to Dad Jokes.